People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
All right, we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 3, Episode 26, Episode 94 overall, so still on that road to 100 episodes. But today, joining me, a Rhode Island alum, like my soon-to-be self, a New York native, and current radio production assistant at ESPN, Nick Cardy. Nick, thank you so much for taking the time and joining me.
Absolutely, Cam. Happy to help out a fellow Ram.
Yeah, exactly. Like we talked about a little before we started recording, when you talk to people like me and students of the Harrington School, which is the communication school at URI, what's the first thoughts that kind of pop into your head, knowing that you had so many experiences there just a few years ago?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of hit it on the head. Experiences, just doing every, that's what I think of with Rhode Island, is they gave me the chance to do everything, anything I could think of, anything I wanted. Obviously helped out that, you know, during my time, they had a great basketball team, obviously coached by now UConn coach Dan Hurley, which, you know, stings a little bit, but it was awesome. I loved it. I loved all my experiences. And so anytime, you know, a fellow Ram or anyone wants to reach out to talk about it, I'm more than happy to, you know, help out, because I honestly wouldn't be, you know, where I am, what I'm doing without, you know, the experiences and help that I got along the way at URI. So always fond thoughts and happy to help anyone who might have anything to learn from anything I've done. So.
Yeah, a lot of people I've talked to, a lot of students I've been able to connect with and build friendships with are from New York that are in the Harrington School. And just like someone like yourself, what was the sports scene like for you growing up? And when did your passion for sports in general spark?
Yeah, so, you know, New York native, so I'm all, you know, New York across the board, Yankees, Knicks, Rangers, Giants. You know, my first memories are probably the David Tyree catch against the Patriots. So that, I mean, how do you not love that, you know, complete underdog story? And then also, you know, I'm a Yankee fan, but I never really got the, you know, arrogance 27 title thing. Like, they kind of have been below average, you know, not like Oakland A's level, but like my first memory is, you know, losing to the then Cleveland Indians with Jabba Chamberlain and the Bugs on the mound. So, you know, I just always loved in New York sports. The Knicks suck every, you know, every year until we're good now. But yeah, that always stung. So I've, you know, just always kind of gravitated towards, you know, New York. And I think sports are just things happen that you can never dream of. You can never write a script about. And it's just the thing that draws everybody in and does things that you never expect, which is why we keep coming back to it.
Yeah. I grew up a New York fan as well. I'm from Rhode Island, from Johnston, like Joe Mazzulla, we were talking about him a little earlier, but, my dad loved the New York teams, Knicks, Giants, Yankees, but he's a Bruins fan with hockey. So I kind of just followed in his footsteps and started taking fandom to those teams. And the Knicks in particular were the team I watched the most because I'm the biggest basketball fan, probably like my favorite sport to watch. And when I think about New York moments, now that I'm asking you this question, when you look back at your childhood and you look back at all the games you've been able to watch, your most memorable like New York sports moment as a kid?
You know, it's and it is funny too, because when I went to New York, just to sidetrack a little bit, I was like, why are there so many New York fans? Like, I don't understand it. But then obviously my Rhode Island friends were like, yeah, all the Italians kind of came up here from New York. So it just, I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, keep spreading it. Most memorable game, probably, it's, I mean, 2009 when the Yankees won. It's the only championship I've seen from the Yankees. I actually fell asleep probably like I was in elementary school. So like the fourth or fifth inning, I probably knocked. And my mom woke me up when Mariano came in. So that was always sick to look back at that. Like I said, the David Tyree catch is always – I thought he dropped it at first. So that's always a fun story. But memorable, I mean, it's just been, you know, certain things that I – like, Eli's probably one of my favorite athletes. Derek Jeter is my favorite athlete ever. So getting to watch him on the tail end was always a treat for me, seeing him live. And, you know, I even like, even though they weren't great, like Melo's run, Melo's 61 points was crazy. The Linsanity run, I remember, was, I think I was in middle school, and like that was everything. Every time at the lunch table was like that. The Steve Novak, obviously, sharpshooter. So, yeah, like all those small memories. And I know it's not like New York championship of level, but like for me, I guess that's all we really had at the time.
Yeah, I mean, talk about Melo. Like, he's my favorite athlete of all time too. And Eli, another one, is up there. And being able to, I mean, not really experience those games a lot as a kid because I wasn't like too into sports at that age, but still around, still kind of, you know, relevant because my dad was huge fans of those teams. And when I got to go to my first Knicks game at MSG, it was Kobe's last game at Madison Square Garden. So like that moment from there, like I think it was like eighth grade, 2016. Yeah, eighth grade. I was like, I was drawn in. I wanted to stay around sports, like, you know, high school after playing. And then like once college came about, I still wanted to stay around like the game because I knew I wasn't going to play at the college level. But I'm sure you probably had the same mindset going into it. But did you know exactly what you wanted to do heading into URI? Like, how did you decide on coming to Rhode Island, coming from New York?
I mean, like I knew, you know, my 2 points in rec basketball wasn't cutting it at the next level. So, I always knew I wanted to work in sports. I knew going into when I was applying to schools that like journalism school and everything was like, that's what I want to do. So probably the reason I was drawn to URI was two prong and the fact of like, I'm a diehard Ohio State fan. One of my siblings went there. So like they rejected me. So that was out. And then when I went to URI at WRU, they were like, yeah, we'll put you on immediately. And I was like, 2 hours from home, great Division I program. I'm going to be getting opportunities sold. Mm-hmm. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I just knew I wanted to be in like you, like be around it, keep around it and stay close to it. So that's why I decided to come to URI was the opportunities.
Yeah, and I think it was – so I went to Rhode Island College, which is in Providence, my freshman and sophomore year. And then I transferred my junior year, which was last year. And I was talking to Stone Freeman, who I'm sure you know, and you've been close friends with for a while. But he was telling me, like, there wasn't any official sports media program, I think, until the year that I came. So what did you major in and what other, you know, opportunities did you seek out when, you know, in your earlier years, like freshman, sophomore year?
Yeah, so I double majored in journalism and comm, which wasn't – I knew I wanted to do journalism. And then they were like, you're going to graduate early. And I was like, all right, I'll throw comm on there. Super easy. But, yeah, like Stone said, like I think probably the end of my senior year or whatever, they were talking about, you know, we're going to start the sports media and Anchor Sports came into play with Joe and Sean. So, like, that was a big thing. And I always just – you know, there wasn't an avenue to be like, oh, we're sports media, so – you know, Stone always says it to me and he reminded me of like sports is just another subsection, I guess, of journalism. Like, you know, doesn't matter if it's sports, politics, economics, like it's all journalism and that's how we treated it. And then opportunities were kind of on your own to seek. Stone Freeman and Nikki Latarullo were like the first two that I really saw do that. And then we all followed suit, you know, working at ABC 6, 12 and 10, just trying to learn everything, working with Andy Gresh. I never got to working at the Sports Hub 98.5. So it's just all that of like, oh, this is what my friend's doing as an internship. I'm going to do it the next semester. And it was just like that, exploring it. And then they built up the Harrington School, which is great and gave opportunities for the kids after us. But yeah, it was just kind of word of mouth of like, oh, these people want to do this and that. And like, you know, better than I do of how small and Rhode Island is. So everybody knows everybody. So it was a great chance to be like, oh yeah, I know Nick and Ian over at ABC 6. He'll help you out. And so that's kind of what, you know, I was trying to do at the time.
Yeah. Kind of similar situation for me. It was kind of like word of mouth and like knowing like the people in it, like Stone and Nikki were the people that I was kind of drawn to when I was transferring, even though they weren't at the school anymore. Stone was still working with the programs and Nikki's obviously doing her thing now with SNY. And they were able to come on the podcast, give me some good advice before I was even at URI. So to have that, like it kind of drew me in like, okay, if they're willing to help me and I'm not even a student here, it's like, I want to be a part of this program. I want to do something. Cause I feel like, you know, if they're in the position they're at, I can be in a position like similar to them. If I go to similar programs, did you fall in love with anything at first or was it kind of just like, you want to be a trick of all trades and kind of try everything?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it started when I did, I didn't really know. So I did ABC 6 TV with Nick Coit and it was like 2 weeks in or something. And I straight up told him, I was like, I don't want to work in local TV. Like, I don't, this isn't for me. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I still did the rest of the internship and I still, you know, fulfilled that job. But it was just, you know, I think you have to find what you don't want to do first because there's so many things out there that like, I still don't even know that like is an option or an opportunity. So I didn't even know what I wanted to do. coming out. I still really don't even know. But yeah, it was just trying to do as many things as you can. And then eventually it kind of sticks out of like, oh, I didn't know this was a thing. I tried it and I actually kind of really like it. And that's kind of how I fell into, you know, what I'm doing now.
Was I know you did a lot of games for the radio station at WRU, mm-hmm. which I've done a lot too. And was that ever like in your head, like once you started to get into a rhythm, was that something you wanted to get into, or was it you kind of saw more of the production side of it coming to, like, to your liking?
Yeah, I mean, it was. I loved calling games. I love the game atmosphere. I like, you know, an empty arena, an empty stadium is always kind of cool to me, just as much as a full one. So I did enjoy that. I thought of that kind of. I was like, like I could do play by play, and then I kind of would tick that off or cross that off the list. Was I did a summer PA announcing for the NECBL. You know, you guys got the Waves up there, so I did it for the Westerners down here in Connecticut. And I was like, this is not that it's a grind. I mean, it's a grind. But I was like, I don't really like love the minor leagues. I don't know. I just didn't really want to, you know, go to Montana or go to Alabama or go to wherever. And then production is just like, it's more fun, I think, for me to, you know, put something together than use my own voice or call games. So that's kind of how I ended up in production of like, I love calling games, but I also enjoyed the background aspects and like the feature pieces that I get to work on.
Yeah, so I worked at the Sports Hub. My first internship was there my sophomore summer heading into junior year. So when I was transferring, that was my first internship. And I saw the behind-the-scenes stuff and how they work production and things like that. But I was able to go on the air like two or three times. And I'm like, this is exactly like what I want to do. I want to be able to call a game and then do like this like who does both kind of thing. Like Zolak does both. Like he'll be on the game with Bob Sosa and then he'll come back on the Sports Hub every weekday.
Yeah.
I was like, that's something that I can see myself doing. When was it when you realized like being on camera wasn't what you wanted to do and you wanted to stay behind the scenes, like senior year around that time?
Yeah, it was probably, I did the ABC6 internship second semester of junior year. Mm. And that's kind of when I realized I didn't necessarily want to be on air and be in front of a camera. And then it also kind of confirmed that when I got to ESPN Radio of like, it's a lot. Like, it's not easy to talk on the air for a segment, let alone a whole 2-3 hour show. And you have to be, you know, you have to be energetic. You have to give it your all. And I just kind of like, if there's something, I have a horrible poker face. So if there's something I don't care about, I'll be like, all right, great. Like, we're going to start analyzing the Yankees here. Like, they're 5-0, which is great. But it's like, all right, we'll wait and see. But that's not, you can't do that. That doesn't draw ratings. And that's not what you do on sports radio. So that's kind of why I knew I didn't want to be on air, because I was like, I can't fake it for 4 hours. I don't love that at all. And production, like, you can basically not eliminate that, but you can focus more so on what you want to talk about and what you want to work on. And I like being the producer of a show and being like, yeah, we're going to start leading off the show with Caitlin Clark in Iowa because they're awesome. And so that's kind of where I like to be the most, I guess.
Yeah, so did you still do stuff like behind the mic and on camera like throughout those 4 years, or was it like, you know, kind of leaning towards one thing?
Yeah, I want to say I didn't do a ton of production work. Like, I didn't learn audition or like production stuff till after I graduated. I did a few, like one class I had, I don't even remember, I think it was my senior year, we did like a long feature piece about pollution in the Narragansett Bay, which I couldn't tell you a thing about, but like, I thought that was really cool to tell a story throughout video. And like, that was another thing that kind of spoke to me, of telling a story without using a voice, is super interesting for me and something that I still like to do today. But yeah, opportunities wise, I just, you know, even like working throughout during on-air games, like calling games, you still got to like, oh, we're going to like, this is how we're going to do the pregame show. This is how we're going to, you know, welcome the audience in, or, you know, kick off the broadcast. So that, you know, I kind of just get in where I could with what I wanted to do. But like I said, it was just about trying as many things as possible in those 4 years.
Yeah. What do you think your coolest like interaction was, you know, with players or like traveling, like during your time at URI?
It's probably for me, the 2019 A-10 tournament. Because it was like, you felt like we were professionals, like we were a professional radio crew going down to Brooklyn, going to the Barclays. Like, we were credentialed, like full press. And like, that for me was cool, because it was, you know, college media kind of still you know, you're media, but you're college kids. But there kind of felt like we were just one of, you know, one of the working members of the media, which is awesome to do. Never got to do NCAA tournament, which I was a little bit jealous of, because the 2 years I didn't go, we did. But yeah, like I'd probably say 2019 in Barclays, just because I'm from New York. So getting to work in New York City as a media member and call a radio and work on that was, you know, one of the coolest experiences I got.
Yeah, and senior year was during COVID, like the tail end, or the actually the start of it in March. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously, like your senior year, you weren't able to completely finish it in person. But what was that experience like at the college level? Because I had it, I was in high school at that time.
Yeah.
But for someone like you, like, what was that like trying to find a job, trying to like secure a diploma and things like that?
Yeah, it was brutal. I mean, so COVID happened, yeah, March 2020. So it was my senior year, second semester. Just basically locked down. It wasn't easy to find a job. Obviously there were, it was a tough time for everyone. And obviously companies were not eager to hire a bunch of college kids and, you know, spend a ton of money. So it wasn't easy. It was just about, you know, trying to not use it as an excuse, but, you know, it was a valid reason to be a little patient on the job search. You know, getting through school wasn't the worst, because, you know, just for the professors and us, like, they were still trying to, like, one class was like, we tried online, didn't work, and just give me, tell me the grade you want, and that's probably how we'll do it. So I was like, all right, take an A. But yeah, it wasn't the easiest. But again, it was an experience, and, you know, you've been through that, so just another thing you can add to your resume, be like, all right, can't get much worse than a global pandemic. So, you know, good adversity to go through and learn about. But yeah, it's kind of like the thing of like, I don't like to be like, oh, I didn't have a job because of COVID. It's like, doesn't matter. Like, just keep working, keep trying to get a job, keep trying to make connections. Like, eventually something will fall, and like the connections you make when you don't get a job will still maybe help you 5 years down the line. So it was just always about trying to work and meet as many people as I could in that time span.
Yeah, I mean, everybody always talks about connections and how huge it is to build relationships, especially in like sports media. Again, during that time and of COVID and the restrictions and not being able to really meet in person, who were some of the people that helped you, like, and opened doors for you for your career?
I mean, a few. Let me think. John Rook of PC Basketball, he called him. He was able to sit down with me and talk. Chris DeSano was a help too. He's an awesome guy. And then he also knows a ton about basketball, but he also knows about everybody. It's like, oh yeah, I know Chris too. It's like, oh, okay. So those two were helpful, but just about like anybody I could talk to, just like, oh, do you have like 5 minutes to talk about? And that was kind of the good thing of COVID, is like nobody really had anything to do. So it was like, yeah, I can take 5 minutes out, 10 minutes out to talk about whatever you need, which was useful. So those two guys, and then just about, you know, Stone was a big help, you know, although he didn't really have a job at the time, or I don't even know what he was doing, but whatever, he was, you know, helpful and willing. And, you know, it was a hard time for everyone, but again, like, it was, I'm grateful for it in a way of like, you know, it's just another learning adversity and another thing you have to get by to move forward.
Yeah. You didn't land the job with ESPN until the year after that. Just wanted to know how you got on their radar, because I feel like a lot of the work that you did, like we talked about, was on the camera or, you know, behind the mic on the radio. Like, just talk about like the applying process and what it was like trying to do or apply for a job that you had, like, I guess, little experience. I don't want to say little experience in, but
no,
I had the work, no, was more right. Radio. You know what I mean? So what was that like going through that?
Yeah, for sure. So like, that was kind of, it's funny, we talk about connections. I didn't know anybody at ESPN. And like, that was kind of dumb of me, because like, I told a few people that like, I have an interview with them, and they were like, oh, why didn't you tell me? Like, I know connections there. Shane Donaldson was one of them. Great SID. But yeah, so I, you know, it was, like I said, 2021, I was a year out. I was a year basically applying to anything. Like, if it has sports in it, I'll try it. And like, whatever happens, happens. So I applied for it, and it was like, yeah, like, I remember I was driving home from the gym, got a call, and I was like, oh, like, that's pretty cool. Like, yeah, like, they gave me like, all right, we want to set up an interview. I was like, all right, cool. Did the first interview. I was like, all right, I think I did well. Got a second interview with like all my bosses, my now bosses. And one of them at the end was like, have you applied for any of our jobs before? Like, you know, you seem like we'd take you on. And I was like, no, like, no. So that kind of gave me the indication that things would hopefully land a job for me. But yeah, like I said, I didn't know anybody at ESPN. And it was kind of just like out of the blue. I didn't necessarily know I wanted to do radio, but I did know it would be high on the list of things I wanted to do. So yeah, got the call, did the interviews, and I was like, all right, that's good. Like, because I felt like I just needed a few interviews, because that was probably only the third or fourth interview I got. And like, I was like, if somebody just gives me an interview, I think enough of myself that I can convince them to give me a job. So yeah, it was kind of perfect to be somewhat close to home, and it's ESPN. So, you know, that's no matter what department or anything, like, to be up here and to work for them is, you know, always a cool opportunity for a lifelong sports fan.
What was that relief like when you got the last call and you're like, you know, we're going to take you aboard and this is going to happen? Like the year after you graduated.
Yeah. I mean, I remember I was working at a liquor store at the time, and I've been there a few months because, you know, I needed money. And like, yeah, I remember they called me. They're like, yeah, like, we'll offer you. It was a part-time job, but it was working 40 hours. I was like, I don't care. Like, give me anything. And I can, you know, work my way up. But yeah, it was awesome. I just, like, I was outside finally, could be like, all right, like, it's like validation to be like, because it's just like, once you get your foot in the door, once you get that first job or whatever, that's the hard part. Because there's so many people that want a job in sports, and there's so many, you know, few positions available. But just to get your foot in the door and get to that one job is like, all right, now I can show you that, like, I can do this. I have enough faith in myself to be like, I can work hard. I can show people that I belong in this industry. And yeah, so it was awesome. It was, you know, I don't remember the day to T, but like, I remember, like, I was like, oh, I got the call. I was like, awesome. Like, finally, like, can begin. Cause I just wanted to get to work at that point. I was like, I don't care where, just like, let me in and like, pay me whatever you want and I'll work.
Yeah, for sure. What was your first few days like once you finally moved out? I mean, it's in Connecticut, right? The studios are in Connecticut.
Yeah, Bristol. So up here in Bristol, yep.
Yeah. So what were those first few days like?
Yeah, it was kind of a shock at first, like, not gonna lie. Like, I was living in New York, so it was like an hour commute. You know, got there super early. They treat the campus like Fort Knox, so you have to scan an ID to get in the building, scan an ID to get everywhere else. And like, I got to the welcome center and was like, yeah, we don't have any file of you. And you're like, great. So I was sitting in the welcome center for like an hour and they were like trying to get me through the door. And I was like, all right, cool. So I got through it. And like, just to like walk through the building and like walk through the doors, it's just like, they have so much, like, it's the worldwide leader. So it's just crazy how like cool it is to be up there and like see the signs, see the studios, even though I'm in radio, like, again, they go all out for radio. Like, it's probably the nicest studios I've been in for radio. And yeah, it was definitely a little intimidating at first to like see the giant ESPN sign and everything, but it's still fun to get there every day and work. So yeah, definitely interesting my first few days.
What are some of the responsibilities that you have to do like on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. So now I'm a production assistant, been there about two and a half years now. And yeah, so basically I'll either be, you know, running a board on a show or producing a show on the weekends. And that's just basically like, it's cool because it is a little interesting that, you know, I'm a 25-year-old producing a national radio show. And like, it's kind of not all on me, but like, it's a lot on me to be like, all right, there has to be like a direction for this ship to go in. So yeah, like, I guess the day of producing is like, you know, reach out, you know, what's the stories going on? Like, you might be off on a Friday night, but you still got to be like, oh, what happened in the sports world? Like, who won, who lost, like, whatnot. So, like, today you probably have to be like, all right, let me try and get, like, a women's basketball guest to break it all down and, you know, lend us some expertise on that. Come up, talk to your hosts, come up with ideas. Try and think more than just, like, Caitlin Clark's amazing. Like, you kind of have to, you know, not be lazy about it, which is sometimes hard. But, yeah, just kind of, what would you want to listen to, I guess, is what I try and do. Like, if I'm turning on the radio, what do I want to hear right now? Like, what do I want to hear them discuss? So yeah, just all about that, getting audio from around the world, of why we would use it, what to use it for. But that's about it. Just basically anything to help run shows that are on our air at the moment.
Yeah. And when I worked at the Sports Hub, like I told you, Tom Morgan, he still is the producer for Zolak and Bertrand, but I watched a lot of what you just described. He did the same exact stuff. So I would come in at 9, the show would start at 10 within that hour. And I'm sure when he was home and stuff like that too, he would, you know, get like sound bites and like think of scripts and how to like construct the show. Cause it's from 10 to 2. And then, you know, that hour that we're there from like 9 to 10 or whenever he got in, you know, he's doing stuff like you just mentioned, like preparing and what's going to happen, knowing what's going to happen, how to like control it. You know, he's the one that's leading the whole thing. So that's kind of cool to see that you're doing that at a national level again at such a young age. I want to know, like, what were the types of shows you've produced so far in your time there?
Yeah, so right now I'm actually doing, and probably since September, I produced Ari and Mel, which is Saturday mornings, and it's Mel Kiper Jr., which is, you know, like everybody knows him growing up watching the draft. So it's pretty cool to, you know, be in charge of that for college football, even though I had to get up at like 5 a.m., which is horrid. So yeah, I had to get up, but like still like to talk about that and like work on that show has been awesome. And that's like a regular basis for me every Saturday. So that was, it's been one of the coolest experiences I got because that show's been on the air for like 15 years. So to work with that is pretty awesome. I got to work with Greeny, Mike Greenberg a lot, which is, you know, like growing up, I would not always listen, but like, I remember like I'd go on college trips and I'd be like, all right, throw on Mike and Mike. So like to work with Greeny is pretty cool because he's still incredibly engaging to listen to and, you know, a good person. I think I've worked with him a few times. But yeah, it's fun to do all this because like you said, like, I don't think I never realized how big of a scope ESPN radio is. And like, I'll look on Twitter and like, just look up like Darian Mel. And like, there's a ton of people tweeting about it. Like every time we ask for callers, full phone lines, like in my head, I still don't think I'll ever understand how many people are listening. And like, I don't think I want to, because it'd be like, oh, that's a lot of people. Like I gotta make sure I do a good job. But it's awesome. And, you know, like you said, to talk about sports for 3 hours on a Saturday morning is a lot worse ways to earn money. So I'm pretty happy, you know, getting able to do all that.
Yeah. I keep relating it back to the sports though, because it's so similar in the way that like I was like brought up as the intern there, and you're not really realizing how many people are like tuned in. Like I remember like the first day I was there on the job, like they had me on like the last whatever, like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or whatever it was. And I'm on NBC Sports Boston. I'm on like the radio station, and I didn't go on my phone, obviously. I'm like doing like the segment, whatever it was. And then I go on my phone and like it blew up and they're like, you were just on TV, you were just on this and that. I was like, really? That many people saw that? Like, that's pretty crazy. You're tuned in for that long to listen to me talk about like nothing.
Yeah.
But I was going to talk to you about Mike Greenberg too. I saw that segment that you guys had, the hashtag Greeny. And I'm like, how have I never seen this before? You know what I mean? That was something cool that you were like a part of. And just talk a little bit about that experience and if that is like a regular basis type of thing for you to be on the on that show, like on it, like on air one and then behind the scenes too.
Yeah, so I was probably probably a month ago at this point. And I was just filling in. Like I don't think I've ever really worked with Greeny before, and it was only like, it was like 1 week the main board op was out. I was like, all right. And they put me on the schedule. I was like, all right, cool. Like it's an early shift, so you can't really complain. And working with Greeny is awesome. So yeah, I was like on it. And they do the thing, the trivia, they ask, just two generic, not generic, they're pretty tricky actually, two trivia questions each day during the show. It's a 2 hour show. And I just, you know, I think I'm pretty good. I think I know a lot of random garbage that I've consumed over the years for sports. So like, I just kind of like kept picking up, getting answers right. And like, some of them I didn't know, but I think I went like, I had a good record for the first few days. And then like Greeny kind of leaned into it, and it was pretty cool to be like, you know, people talking, like you said, like people text you and they're like, oh, like I just heard you on radio. Like, is that you they're talking about? And like, that is kind of like a shock to me. Like you said, like, I don't expect anybody, not that I don't expect people to listen, but like, you know, my friends and my family are being like, oh, we just heard you. And like, I didn't tell you, like, it's not like WRIU I'm working on anymore. Like it's ESPN radio and it's national. So yeah, it was awesome to do that week with Greeny, and I've been on a few times since to, you know, do some trivia with them. But yeah, it was just a one-off, and like, it's fun because it's a different thing each day up at work. So that's always my goal, at least, because I get bored pretty easily. So to, you know, one day do this, one day do that is always a fun thing for me, I guess.
Yeah, to work with people like him and you know, some of the names you mentioned. Have you had like a starstruck moment where like someone came in the studio one day and you're like, I can't believe I have the opportunity to work with this person?
Like Greeny's pretty cool because, like I said, like I was in high school and I was listening to him. trying to think. Recently, it was pretty funny. So ESPN just had Ron Rivera on a bunch of shows and whatever. And so, like, somebody came in, and I wasn't really doing anything at the moment. They're like, hey, would you be able to go walk all the way across campus and walk Ron Rivera down? I was like, all right, that's pretty easy. But in my head, I'm like, what am I going to talk to? Like, I'm a Giants fan. I'm like, thanks for all the wins. Like, I don't know. I feel bad. He lost his job. But I went to like the green room, and I was like, hey, like, here to take you to radio. He's like, all right, what's your name? And I'm like, I'm Nick. And I'm like, all right, super nice guy. Super, super, like, a lot of people you meet are like, all right, let's do it. He was like, kind of cool to talk to. I was like, I don't know. I don't know what to talk to you about. So we walked down, and like on the way back though, I was like, all right, let me try and talk to him. And we were talking about like the state of the game and analytics. And like, it was pretty cool to break that down with, you know, somebody that I've also grew up watching. Like, I remember the Carolina Panther game with the Giants with Cam Newton. And I was like, that was in high school. And I was like, to be able to be like, I'm walking with Ron Rivera and I'm talking to him. Like, it was only like probably 10 minutes of the day, but like, that's awesome. And yeah, it's not like starstruck, like, oh, like, you're you, but like, still, like, to see some of these people like live, it's like, oh, like, you're really like the other day I was trying to get Seth Greenberg on a show, Coach Greenberg. He's awesome. And like, I sent him a text and he called me, and I was like, I'm kind of talking to Seth Greenberg. Like, that's pretty cool. So yeah, there are some days that you're like, this, you take a step back and you're like, all right, it's pretty cool that I get to work with all these people and we all have this common love of sports.
Yeah, I think that's been my favorite part of it so far. Like you said, just growing up watching these people do what they do, and again, being able to be in the mix of it and be a part of what they're about to like be on. You know, I think that is so cool to look back at and be able to talk to people like you who have done stuff like that. Because I'm trying to do that at one point in my career. Hopefully, when I graduate, get something right out of the gate. But I guess my question to that is like, what's your end goal with ESPN? Like, what do you see yourself doing in 5 years with the company, or if you're even with them, like, what do you see yourself doing within that 5 year span?
Yeah. I mean, I literally have had my managers and bosses ask me this, like, oh, like, where do you see yourself going? And I straight up tell them, like, I have no idea. I don't necessarily know what I want to do, you know, the next 2 days, honestly. Like, I enjoy what I do. I enjoy the work that I get to do, but you know, there's always going to be a time where like, oh, I'm going to see something and I'm like, I want to try this, I want to try that. And that's honestly the cool thing about working at a place like ESPN, is like, there's so many things that like I have friends that work in a department I've never, it's, I don't even know what they do, but like, they're in charge of putting things on the air. And like, we're going to have this at this channel at this time. And I'm like, wouldn't even know that's a job, to be honest with you. So like, I don't know what I'm going to do in the next 5 years or 10 years or however long I'm with ESPN, but I don't know. I just try and, you know, find the things I like and try and gravitate to that, learn more about it, and just, again, meet as many people as I can. And it's funny, I've met probably the most amount of people through like softball and playing volleyball with all these people. And I'm like, oh, you work over there? Like, and then I go pick their brain about it. So yeah, I guess just like, no idea what I'm going to end up doing in my career, but I like what I do now. And maybe I just try to do what I like. And that's not always the case, but you know, if that's, you know, 80% of your job is you like it, then I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, 100%. You mentioned like talking to like with people and connecting with people through like sports and like recreation stuff and stuff like that. I was some of my friends are in like a band that they're trying to get off the ground, and they're doing great, and they're all from Johnson, from where I'm from in Rhode Island. And I was at one of their shows in Newport, and I met this kid, and he was like, oh, I've seen your podcast, I've seen what you do. And I'm like, oh man, I appreciate that, thank you. He's like, you should interview my brother. And I'm like, oh yeah. And he's like, no, he just got drafted by the Red Sox. And I'm like, no way, actually. He's like, yeah, his name's Zach Fogle. You should hit him up, follow him. And so then I hit up Zach and I told him about everything, and we did the podcast. And then a few weeks later, I'm playing in this men's league game, and his brother was on the other team, and like, he knew a few other people that played in the MLB, and he's like, oh, I'll connect you, I'll do this, do that. So it's like, it's such a small world. Like, you never know like who you're gonna meet like through those kind of interactions. But
You just never know, like, who knows who. Right. Is a big thing. And like you said, like, you reached out to me and you're like, yeah, like, Drew Carter spoke about you. And like, I knew of Drew because like, obviously he won like the Nance Award. And so like, I knew of him going into this, but like, I, like, the first time I got to produce him on the show, I was like, oh, like, you're Drew Carter. And like, I got to know him over the last year. Like, he's an awesome dude. So like, you never know who knows who. And then also like 5 years down the line, who's like, oh yeah, I knew them playing softball, but now they're, I don't know, running the department or something. You're like, oh, sick, I know them. So yeah, like you never know who knows who, and like you said, we're basically all in one Rhode Island. Like everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, exactly. I was just gonna say that it's kind of like the same thing in the sports media realm. Like everybody knows everybody in some kind of thread or, you know, little connection here and there. I think that's like the best part of it, really. And I wanted to ask you too, like those first few days, like tracking back a little bit, did you have any moments in the first few weeks or months even where you felt like this wasn't going to be the job for you? Like, did you ever have like a thought of like hesitation? Like, oh, I don't know if this is going to be it.
I mean, I think I wouldn't say like, I was never going to be like, I don't want to, I guess I'm not one of the people to be like, oh, like I'm just going to quit immediately. Like I was like, basically my mindset was like, no matter the case, I'm going to try and give it at least a year. Mm. And like, you know, beggars can't be choosers. Like I was out of a job. I didn't have a job for a while. So I was like, I'm at ESPN. I think I'll, you know, regardless of how I feel about it, I'll stay in it. But like I said, there are definitely days where like, I'm not, I don't love what I do. Like, I don't love the, you know, what's going on, or like this certain thing is annoying me or this thing's making me upset. But like, I think that's true about every job, no matter what. Like if you ask professional athletes, they'll be like, oh, I hate this. And it's like, yeah, like we could be like, well, you're making millions, but you know, it's the job for everybody. It's at a certain point. So yeah, you just try and, you know, focus on the good and not dwell on what you don't like. Cause if you do, then no job will, I guess, suit you and you'll always be miserable. So just all about having a good attitude and being like, yeah, like I don't love this, but you know, I like this. So focus on the good and not really on the bad.
Yeah. And when you look back at everything, you know, through the two like ish years you've been there, what do you think your most memorable moment has been so far working with ESPN?
I probably would be, you know, working with Greeny, and being on TV. Cause you know, that too is like crazy to me of like, oh, like it's radio, but you know, we're also on TV. So that's always, always probably going to be up there in terms of, you know, cool moments of being on TV and whatnot. But I don't know too, like I do love, you know, working with, you know, all these big names and, you know, not big names, but working with these people who are known in the sports media landscape, but also too, like some of the best memories I have are just like working with other PAs. And like, sometimes you find, you know, your best friends or like cool people in like the terrible hours. So like when you're working an overnight, but like, oh, this person I'm working with is really cool. So like, I think that's true of like, even working at ABC6 or working at URI, like, I'll remember like going to Brooklyn, but what made that trip great was the people I was with and the friends I'm with. So it's all about just, you know, finding your people and I guess trying to work with the people behind the scenes, because those are the people you have to see every day. So the one-offs of like working with Greeny is awesome, but like I would rather like hang out with all my friends that day that I've made at ESPN Radio and like just hang around and joke about that. So yeah, it's I'll probably, you know, looking back at this place, I'll always like, whenever that may be, I'll just probably remember my friends that I've made and like the experiences that we've had working in such a crazy industry.
Yeah. And if you could change anything about your process so far, would you change anything?
Probably not. I'm a big, like, you know, I'm deep in faith. So like, I, you know, believe that like, you know, you are where you're supposed to be. And like I said, like, would I wish COVID never happened? Absolutely. Because, you know, the amount of people that we lost and, you know, everybody was affected by it. But like, for my own journey, like, you know, I'm kind of happy that like I was able to go that long, you know, without a job in hindsight, because now I realize like how important it is and how, you know, lucky we are to be in our situation. So I guess probably I'd say no, because I kind of like the whole like, you know, everything leads there for a reason or whatnot. So I'll probably say no.
Yeah, I'm the same exact way. I would say like everything happens for a reason. So, you know, any hardships or whatever I've been able to go through, it's happened for a reason. And that long period of, you know, wondering if something's going to happen or not, like it's always worth it, because like in the end, it'll always prevail and be in your favor. But Nick, that's all I got for you. I appreciate you for hopping on Camp's Corner. The $1 million question I always ask everybody before I cap off is, what'd you think of Camp's Corner?
Dude, it was awesome. I love the Brunson jersey, first of all. I'm a big Nick fan, also a Villanova fan. So it's one and the same at this point. But love the Brunson jersey. I love all Rhode Island graduates, students. So Camp's Corner is awesome.
Yeah. And I definitely want to keep in contact, Nick. I wish you luck throughout the rest of your career. Hopefully someday I'll meet you in person throughout my career, wherever I'm at. But yeah, Cam's One Corner on all social media platforms. Keep tuning in, almost on that 100 episode mark, but this is episode 94 with Nick Carty. Again, guys, thank you for tuning in to Cam's Corner.